this is amen. Always great to be with Brother Morris and his wife and this beautiful church. I think it's been about 8 years ago when he was last here. But we had a great time, amen. And that's what I want to do today. I want to just let my hair down and have the Holy Ghost apostolic revival, amen. You know what revival is? Somebody gets revived.
All right.
And I love whenever God revives something inside of us that makes us excited about going to heaven, praise God. Because if you're ready, you're gone.
Yeah.
If you're not, so long, amen. We're going to leave out of here, praise God. Clap your hands, give God a praise today. There's a brand new song, right? A brand new album. Keep on fighting.
Baptize me. Let
It's like a mother that's expecting a child, and all the time she's, you ever seen a mother, whenever she's expecting, amen, she's pushing this direction, amen. Everybody knows that she's about ready, amen. And I'm here to tell you, I believe the church is pregnant right now.
All right.
And I believe something powerful, praise God, the Holy Ghost is going to show up and show out in this house today. I feel the Holy Ghost in my life, because let me tell you, church, I remember the life that I lived before I found Jesus. And it wasn't very good. And you know, that excites me to know that whenever people look at you and they think, you know, oh, you've never been where I've been. Oh, I have.
Yeah.
I was raised in a tavern, amen. I played country music in my dad's bar until I was up to the age of 16. My brother got electrocuted and came to the tavern the night before he died and witnessed to me about the Lord and told me I needed Jesus in my life. And I told him, I said, Daryl, I said, I got too much beer to drink, too many women to chase to live for God. He looked at me and he said, if you'll ever drink from this fountain, you'll never thirst again.
All right.
I found out, church, the night I went to that apostolic Holy Ghost filled church.
Yeah.
And I remember Brother Shelby was preaching, brother from Chicago. And Brother Shelby was holding a revival for our church down in southern Illinois. And he looked down at me and he said, son, anything you need from God tonight? I said, I want to know if he's real. And I'm here to tell you, he had more faith than I did, because he said, you're fixing to find out. I lifted up my hands and began to praise God. And something got a hold of me. How many remember when that night happened? When God lifted you up out of the mountain and put your feet on. We used to have doodads on the doodads, amen. We didn't really care what people thought about us, because we didn't go to church to be petrified and dignified. Right. I mean, we came to give God the praise and the glory that's due to His name. Oh, come on, somebody. He brought you out of a horrible pit. There's restoration in this house today. You know what? God is no respected person. He loves all of us the same, church.
Yes, He does.
Don't matter what color. No matter what you look like, what you smell like, amen. He came for the ones that needed Him. You don't find Jesus down there with the Sadducees. See, they were Sadducees. He was right down there in the middle of those people that needed help.
That's right.
You know, if we're ever going to get to a place where we're going to build a bigger building than this one, amen, we got to get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
We got to get down in the midst, amen, where them people are at. And tell them, you don't want to. And I know somebody that can take the drugs out of your life just like that.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
I know a God, because whenever I came to church that night, I had drugs in my pocket. But by the time I left there, they were flushed down the toilet stool. And I've never looked back since that day. Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus is a blessing. Yeah. It happened to you. Yeah. When He puts something inside of you that the world can't heal, and the world can't take away.
Right.
You know, an experience is better than an argument.
All right.
You can argue all you want to about, oh man, I don't know if I believe all that stuff. Well, if you ever get a hold of it, or it gets a hold of you, amen.
Yeah.
I want you to know something. It'll put a joy in your step. It puts you in a place that you start looking at your friends and saying, you know what? I got the Holy Ghost. They'll look at you and say, you got the Holy who? Because I remember going back to the pool hall, old Peck's pool hall. I sat up on the top of the bleacher looking down on the pool tables that day. And I thought to myself, I used to think all that stuff was important.
Right.
But I realized the important thing, amen, for somebody to find Jesus Christ as a person.
Yes. Yeah.
So they looked at me and they said, Danny, you got any drugs? I said, oh, I sure do. I said, I got something last night. Amen. If you'll ever experience what I got, I said, I got the Holy Ghost. And the poor boy looked up at me and said, you got the Holy who? I said, I got the Holy Ghost. And I didn't ever go back after that day because I had other interests in my life. And that was for the Lord to use me.
Yeah, man.
You know, I couldn't read when I got to church. I was playing music all the time. Most of my life was filling beer bottles inside of the beer cases and serving CC Club and Secret 7 and CC Club and Coke. You know, I was a bartender and everything else at the age of 16. And they had bets on us, Brother Morris, that we wouldn't last for 6 months. They said they'll go back to the old lifestyle. No, church, something got on the inside.
Yeah.
And I told the Lord, I said, God, I feel like you're calling me to preach. And I thought, I can't even read. First time I read Job, I called a job. Amen. So I thought, boy, I need some help here. My pastor looked at me and he said to me, Brother Robinson looked at me and said, son, you need to go to Bible college. I said, you got to read before you go to Bible college, don't you? But I want you to know something. In the basement of the Pentecostal church in Bush, Illinois, I lived down in the basement of that church, and I would go up in before the services, and I would clean the church, make sure the church was all clean and things. But God called me to preach right down there in the basement of that church. And one of the sisters in the church handed me a Bible. It looked like a family Bible. I got older, and I remember one of the preachers coming up to me and said, well, I'll replace that family Bible for you. I said, no, you don't understand. There's something about this Bible. Because whenever I received it from one of the sisters in the church, whenever you look at the words over the eye, there'd be a long line across the eye, and there'd be U's over top of the E's and stuff like that. And I said, what does that mean? She said, well, that's a long eye and short eye. And God began to move on me. And I started reading. And before long, I realized that God was giving me an understanding. And my wife, she started asking me how to pronounce words. Because when God heals you, come on, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm here to tell you, church, right down there in the basement of that church, and then the anointing came on me. And I remember when I began to preach the gospel, my pastor looked at me before I started preaching. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. I said, yeah, but I've been chosen, amen. If you've been chosen by something, you don't need anybody or nobody, amen, to discourage you. You need to lift up your head and look up. Amen. I'm glad to know today that, you know, no matter what condition you're in, that God is in this building today to do whatever you need him to do. The Bible said, I will work, and who will let? See, you got to be a letter to be a getter. You ain't going to get nothing if you don't put something into it. When we began to praise him, all of heaven stands at attention. I said, when we start praising him, because he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
And we got to get in the habit of praise God, of praising him. I don't care. There was one time one of the preachers that was out over in Kansas City, he was having the mayor come to his church one night. So he got all worked up about the mayor coming. He thought to himself, I'm going to have to really be dignified tonight. So he got everything together. But he had this little sister with that little Holy Ghost bun on the back of her head. It's in the bun, honey. Amen. We had that before Taco Bell, praise God. Amen. But she was one of them lively Holy Ghost filled pioneers of the church. And he thought, oh, I'm going to take this message real slow. And he got to talking about Calvary and about how God saves you, amen, at Calvary's Hill. And she got going, yeah. And she started getting excited because she thought about how far God had brought her from.
Yeah.
And the more he tried to go another direction, the more she began to hum and began to praise God. And she got lively in the middle of that message.
preaching. She started speaking in tongues and jumped up shouting and praising God. And he thought, oh my, she's ruined it. Now, sermon finally got over. She had her Holy Ghost fit. And they got out there to the foyer. Preacher went over to him and said, Mary, I hope you enjoyed the service today. He said, I want you to know something, son. That was the most boringest preaching I've ever heard in my life. But whatever that little sister has over there on the left side of the church, I'd like to have some of that. Come on, somebody. Visitors at my church a couple weeks back. One of the men in my church invited him to come. He came in, him and his girlfriend, and he said, I thought his girlfriend was going to squeeze his hand off. I got to preaching, and she got the wiggling and squirming, and he looked over and said, he always alive like that? I said, yeah, pretty much. I said, man, my girlfriend, she thought he's out of his mind. Are you with me? I want you to know something, church. I went to a church when I was about 7 or 9 years old, somewhere in the middle of there. My daddy, I didn't realize that he was raised up Pentecostal. And he never told us anything about that while he was running the bar. But he took us to the place where he got saved when he was a little boy. When we got there, me and my sister were sitting there. I want you to know back in those days, it was kicking from the time they started the first song to the time it was over. Yeah. I mean, it was kicking. And I was squirming. And I got down underneath the pew. And they had that little hole like you do right there. And I'm trying to see my sister on the other side under the pew. And I said, we got to get out of here. These people's got the devil in them. Outside, and I'm shaking like a leaf. I look at her, and I want you to know my dad came to get us. That was the most quietest time here. We had a storm in Norman. Amen. My dad knew something was wrong. I said, Dad, whew. He said, how'd you like the service? I said, them people have the devil in them. Man, I saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I got a revelation all in one day, praise God. And he said, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, well, if it's so good, why didn't you come in? I got smacked again. Amen. But I never forgot it. It marinated on my brain, brother. It got inside of me, and I thought to myself when I got a little older, I thought, man, them people had to have something to act like that. There had to be something that they had that I don't have. And you know where that big hole that's inside of our heart? That's where Jesus wants to abide. Yeah. That's why he left that place there, so we can open our heart up to him. Yeah. Amen. And let him come inside and change us, praise Amen. God. Amen. Yeah. I love him because I know something, church. One of these days, this is a song I wrote. It's called Amazing Grace. Praise God. Take it up. That song, when they recorded it too long. Together, yeah. When the lady is crowned, this is what I've been working for. It's a place beyond compare. Oh, I wish that you were here. See the beauty of what I have beheld. It's a place no words are tongue can tell. Place where love lasts forever. Place where choice should never end. Place where I stand in reverence to the one who bore my sins. David said, my cup runneth over.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You know when it runs over is when you do it over and over and over again. Praise God. Yeah. When you just don't come to church to fill the pew and somebody got my seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless your little gizzard. Amen. Somebody got my seat. Or somebody. You know what, church? You can have my seat. You can have the pulpit. You can do whatever you want to. Praise God. If you'll preach to me, amen. Yeah. I want a word, brother. I don't just want to come to church just because it's something I do out of routine. No, I want the devil to know something. I got up this morning and I'm going to talk. I want the devil to know when I get up out of bed. Praise God. Come on. There's a difference when you have church and you have church.
All right.
When you have church.
Yeah.
I go to some of them. Me and brother Brian, we're the only white folk in the church out there in West Memphis when we go out there. I want you to know some of them people preach your socks off. I love it, praise God. I was supposed to be over, well, I did. I went over to Brother Kirk's church over in the Corinth, Mississippi. And I was over in West Memphis. We had to drive over to Corinth. And on my way there, I'm thinking to myself, I can't even talk, let alone sing. But I got anointed on the way there, and God helped me out. But I'm telling you, church, I walk out of there wringing wet.
All right.
Because let me tell you, when you have somebody saying, hallelujah, in make us like sealed to it all. Amen. That's somebody that's excited about what heaven's all about because they got the same revelation you have. They understand that God has kept me for 44 years. God has kept me for hurting somebody. God's kept me for so we used to be a bunch of devils before Jesus got a hold of us. So he's still working on the devil that we supposed to got rid of. Amen. Not everybody's as spiritual as you are.
All
right. Praise God. Some people are having a little bit of hard time trying to catch up with you.
That's right.
Come on now.
All right.
So we get to thinking, well, oh man, everybody ought to be just like me. I'm glad we're not all the same.
Amen.
I'm glad we're different because we are a peculiar people.
Yeah.
So I say I'm peculiar.
I'm peculiar. Yeah.
Look at your wife, say I'm peculiar. She said, I know. Amen. We're changed. Whenever Jesus got a hold of us, we were changed.
Amen.
But we're still working on some things. God's still working on us.
Right.
And if we'll just let Him work, amen, instead of trying to say, well, you know what? I just don't believe in all that stuff. Hmm. Can I tell you, church? Whenever you do something out of the ordinary, guess what happens? People write about it.
Yes.
That's right.
All I know about demons is demons having loved this present world. That's forsaken. That's all I know about him. But I want to be a David, a praiser.
Yeah.
I'm going to praise my way out of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to praise him. I don't care how rough the road gets, amen. I've been through some rough roads in the last 5 years. I nearly lost my boy. I want you to know something that's painful. When you get a phone call from your own son, and he told me, he said, Dad, he said, I messed up. And I thought he said, I messed up. And I know he carries a weapon, so I thought, oh, God, I hope he hadn't done something crazy. And I said, aren't you working? He said, yeah, Dad, I'm working. He said, I messed up. He said, they crushed me. And if I don't make it out of here, I'm bleeding to death as I'm talking to you. And if I don't make it out of here, I want you to know I love you. Mm-hmm. I said, son, you hang on. I said, I'm praying for you. I pray for you every day. You hang on. His wife calls me back, and she's finally at the ambulance where he is at the mine, and they're trying to get him up out of the mines. And they told me later, they said, he's the only one that's ever survived. When they pulled the tractor away from him, his pelvis was broken in 5 places or 6 places. They had to screw him all back together. He died in St. Louis. They took him to the Marion Hospital. When he got there at the Marion Hospital, I seen the doors of the ambulance open up, Sister Morris. And when they opened up, I saw his arm moving. I said, he's still alive. And they wheeled him in. I said, can I get back there to my son? They said, no, you can't get there. He's bleeding to death. We're about to lose him. And I said, okay. About that time, a nurse come flying through the door. Said, he wants his daddy back there. So I went back there, and these doctors are all around him, probably 10 doctors just working on him, trying to get him back stable again. He looked at me with tears running down his face. He said, Dad, pray for me. He said, I can't feel my left side. I'm paralyzed. I need God to touch me. And while those doctors are working, I reached down and I said, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
I bind this and I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost. Give him his healing back inside of his body. And right there, praise God, God began to continue to happen down his left side. And he said, Dad, I'm feeling life again. That's a good sign. He had a trauma center. They just put it in, thank God, at the Carpentale Hospital. They said, we can't get him to St. Louis. He's bleeding too bad. They've got one of the best doctors there from Chicago, and he's there right now. We need to get him there. So they flew him over. They got him in there, and they had to, I mean, it was a bad deal. He's had, I think, 17 surgeries already. He's getting ready to go back in July for another surgery. But I want you to know something, church. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Because whenever we're going through something, that draws us closer to God. See, my boy was kind of riding the fence at the time. You might know what I'm talking about. You know, you can be in church and not be in church. You can be sitting in on the premises but not being in the promise. Amen. And so here he was. You know, I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a PK. And you know, I've heard all this stuff all my life. But I want you to know something. When he come out of what God brought him out of, because when he went to St. Louis, my wife and his wife was inside the ICU room. They said he flatlined. When he flatlined, there just happened to be a doctor standing over the top of him at the time. And he said, if I would not have been here, he would have died. But God always shows up right on time. Amen. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what's going on. He was standing there and he said he worried me. Looked at my wife, said he worried me. I thought we lost him. She saw him the next day. Whenever he began to talk to her, he said, I went home and I was praying for your son. Our doctor's praying now. Praise God. When he flatlined, he told me later because they had him in a coma. And we was trying to wake him back up, trying to get him back to life again so he could come out of the coma. And he said, Dad, when I flatlined, he said, I was running across the field with that preacher's boy that passed away. Me and him was together. I said, yeah, I remember that boy. He said, well, we were together. And we were running across this field. He said, we floated across that field. He said, it was beautiful. And he said, you know what, Dad? He said, whenever I got so far across that field, he said, something began to pull me back. And I guess that's when I went back into my body. But after he got home, a few months after he got home, his wife, Karen, was burning some essential oils in the house. And he said, honey, what's that smell in this house? She said, well, I'm burning essential oils. He said, no, I want to know what the smell is. What's that smell? She said, well, it's lavender. He said, that's what I smelled when I was running across that field. He said, I was in the middle of a lavender field. Who shot that up? Church, can I tell you today there's a heaven?
Yes.
And sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. Come on, somebody. I said there's a heaven waiting for us, church. And eyes are not seen, and ears have not heard. Neither has it been the heart of a man. God has in store for those that love him. Church, I'm glad he loves me today. And I'm glad I love him in return. He's been too good. He's been too good.
Hallelujah.
See, I like the old song of the Hensons. If I tried to count my blessings, the Lord has sent down my way. It would take me a million, billion years, and here I'd be. Because he's been so good. Amen. See, we need to start realizing that we're not saved just because somebody prayed a prayer over us.
That's right.
Yeah. We're saved by our testimony. Yeah. You need to tell this world. Well, I've told it to the church. I'm not talking about telling church. I'm talking about those people that are living their life right now where you have been. The pain that you've been through. The anguish that you've been through. But I want you to know there is a Redeemer. And he's a Comforter. And if you've lost something in your life, I can tell you, church, we were at a church. Most of you may know him. I don't know. I know your pastor does because we're in the same section. But Brother Hammonds, several years back, I wrote this song that I'm getting ready to sing. It's called Reasons. But we were at Brother Hammond's church on a Sunday afternoon, and I want you to know the Spirit of God poured out that day. I mean, people were speaking in tongues, and backsliders were coming back to the altar, and I mean, it was just powerful. And you know, I could have put my chest out and thought, man, I really knocked it out of the park today. I said, God, you're doing something here. I don't know what it is, but you're doing something here today. Brother Hammond's walked over to me, and he said, Brother Norman, we've never had a service like this since I've been here. He said, this is powerful. I'm talking about young kids running to the altar and getting the Holy Ghost. It was powerful. And I stood there thinking to myself, God, what are you doing? And when Brother Hammonds was talking to me, the Lord spoke to me and he said, tell him, this service is not for them, it's for you. So I looked at Brother Hammonds and said, Brother Hammonds, this service is not for these people. This service is for you. He said, I thought you were nuts. He said, I seriously thought, man, what is he talking about? He's crazy. My world's perfect right now. I can change just like that.
Yes, it can.
He said, I didn't get it. But that was on a Sunday afternoon. But on Wednesday, his daughter and son-in-law was driving back from Philadelphia. And she hydroplaned and went underneath a semi-truck. And it took her and her husband's life. I got a phone call from my friend, Brother Rutherford. And he said to me, he said, Brother, did you hear about Brother Hammonds' daughter and son-in-law? I said, no, I have not. I said, I really just got up out of bed. And I said, I'm heading to my office right now. And I said, you called? He said, well, it's what's happened. So that was Thanksgiving. So I went inside of my office. I just started weeping. And I began to pen the words of this song. My wife walked into my office. She said, "Honey, what are you doing?" I said, "The family's out there waiting on you for Thanksgiving." I said, "I'm writing Brother Hammond's a song." And I said, "I'll share it with him one of these days." I said, "I feel the anointing right now." And I said, "I just got to stay in this room for just a little while longer. I'm just about done." And I wrote this song here. And if you'll put it up here on the screen, I'm going to sing it for you today. It's called Reasons. Guess I had to face the storm I'm in. This suffering I'm going through, it's a place I've never been. So please come down and take my hand before I fall apart. I can't do this, Lord, without you. Would you heal this heart? Lord, it's more than I can stand. It's more, it's too much for this man. Someday I'll know the answers. It won't matter why, when I come there to meet you, then I'll know the reasons why. Know the pain I feel in losing her. Lord, she was so precious. She was my baby girl. Know someday I'll see her. Helps me keep on holding on. And to know that she's with you, Lord, means we're not apart for long. Help me, Lord. I need your strength so I can stand. Lord, send your comfort to this man. One day I know the answers. It won't matter why, 'cause we'll be there together. And I know the reasons why. Lord, help me not to look back and even question why. Anybody got a problem today that you just like to take it to God? Just turn it over to Him and say, God, I know You're bigger than what this is. I've just made a big deal out of it. I heard this song the other day, and I picked it up, and I wanted to learn it. And this is the first time I've ever done it out on the road, and I hope that I can get through it. But it's called Father, My Son, and the Holy Ghost. I hope you like it. I have friends that come from out of town asking me to go. They say there's so much going on, why don't you come along, show us around? See, the wife, she's not feeling well, so I probably shouldn't go out. Besides, I've got to fix the list of things I need to do around the house. Then I hang up the phone, I turn the radio back on and sit back down. I know my boy ain't here, he ain't gone. In the morning I'll wake up, give her a kiss, step to the kitchen, pour a cup and wake me up, try to rouse up some ambition. I ain't known. I've got the Father, my Son, the Holy Ghost. I've been beat up, I've been pushed and shoved, and never ever really knocked down. Between Mom and Dad and Uncle Sam, friends I somehow always pull down. But the pain of this is more than I ever felt before. Yet I was broke. I cried until I passed out on the floor. And I prayed and prayed and prayed until I thought I couldn't pray anymore. Then minute by minute, day by day, my God, He gave me hope. I know my boy ain't here, he ain't gone. In the morning I'll wake up, give her a kiss, step to the kitchen, pour a cup and wake me up, try to rise up some ambition. I go outside, sit by myself.
Yeah, I like what I feel in the Holy Ghost. service today.
Amen.
We just stand together right now and stretch our legs and stretch our spirit out to the Lord. God, we thank you for what we feel in this house today. We want God to preach victory, and we want to preach triumph and joy and all of those amazing things, but we often neglect to preach how we get there. God, you said in your word that those who sorrow will be comforted, Lord God. There are trials and tribulations that we're called to, oh God, and it leaves a mark on us, and we carry those weights around with us, God. But then it is in those moments, oh Lord, when we're under the weight and the duress of the pain of sin and death in this world, and even in our own bodies, God, we know that it's then that your comforts come in, and your spirit reassures us, and you give us the courage to go on. We thank you for that today. Because without it, oh God, we would be hopeless. Without it, oh God, there would be no reason to go on. But these little moments of joy that you let us feel, that somehow, despite all of the reasons that we could prove that it's time to quit, that little glimmer of light that you put inside of us is just enough for us to keep going on. We praise you for that today, God. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. If you have a tithe, offering of missions, we're going to let you bring that in a moment. If you want to say a prayer today for the little call last night, and his niece, Keely Shane, hit a deer, and she's beat up pretty bad with some broken bones and some other problems, and she's having trouble breathing, and she's all bruised up, and so he requested that we have prayer for her. Let's continue to pray for Karis. Hello, Sister Karis. We love you. I'm not talking to you, Brother Gilbert. I'm talking to Sister Karis. We love you today. And that we're praying for you. God is good, isn't he? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all those that are here today, for a blessing, for depth, for roots that go down deep. Oh God, for seeds that are in good soil that no devil can come and steal away. For fruitfulness in their lives that no thorn or thistle can choke out. But that they would bring forth 30 and 60 and 100 fold in their lives. That their testimony, that their light would not be hidden under a bushel. But that it would be like a city set on a hill that could be seen for miles and miles and miles. And that they would lead many souls to righteousness. We pray for Keely Shane today, that you would minister to her, touch her broken body, of God, the wounds that she's received from this car wreck. Let her heal, grow stronger, and let her get back to complete 100% health. We pray for Cal and Karis today, that you would just show great mercy, show great love. Let them feel your presence, feel your touch, and see your hand working in the middle of their trials and tribulations. And everybody said, in the name of Jesus, for all of our children, God, for all of our loved ones, for all of the many who have come and repented and been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, that who have been unable to hold their path, who somehow got sidetracked, somehow got discouraged, and fallen away from the path, God, that you would call them, that you would lead them to an intersection that would get them back on the path again. And wake their hearts up, O Lord, and all the lies that have them weighted down and all the discouragements that have them defeated. We pray, God, that you would just unlock those chains off of their minds and their hearts and let them feel their freedom and let an angel lead them out, O God, of the prison that they are in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. We thank you for what we feel in this house. And how many of you love the Lord today? Praise God. Sister Stacy and Saints, or whoever, whatever's happening here, bring up your tithes, your offerings, and your missions today.
church. We call him inside right. Everywhere I turn, he's been showing up. He's got my attention, I think. I hear the bumper working. Yeah, he's working, working on me. I used to wonder how to man. Such a shame. Stone broken, drunk here night and day. And then one night I heard his voice. I fell to my knees and I made a choice to make work. Make work. Work on me. Working on the outside, I got a new song to sing.
Yeah,
and is it any wonder why everybody's wondering about this new life that they see? Sometimes I stumble, yeah. Sometimes I fall.
Dark waiting on you.
Inside of your spirit.
Amen.
My wife was very sick, and I thank this church for praying for her. A few years ago, my wife was in a lot of health conditions, and I thought I was going to lose her. And one day, Brother Brian, my sound man back there, drummer, give him a hand today. My wife had been diagnosed with an illness that you get when you're a child, and if you get it when you're older, it's not good. It shuts down all the organs inside of your body. She started shutting down everything, and all of her enzymes and everything was going crazy. I'm telling you, church, you know, being a Christian isn't when everything's going good. What really proves you to be the Christian that you are is when you're going through hell and high water. And God, amen, picks you up and shows you how big of a God that He really is. Because I went out to Mississippi to sing. And on my way there, I was kind of beating myself up because I had to leave my wife. And I really didn't have to leave her. I told her, maybe I'll stay here if you want me to. She said, go do what God's called you to do. So go bless those people. And my wife's always been very, very, what not ministry, go forward. She's all about ministry, and thank God for a woman like that. And so as I was traveling, I felt so beat up. I thought, God, I left my wife homesick. And I went into prayer. And I mean, there is a place of prayer, and then there's a place of prayer.
Yes.
There's a place when you get into that realm with God, it's you and Him, and you can feel that the miracle happens, and you can feel it when it happens.
Yeah.
I've had that happen probably about 4 or 5 times in my ministry. Whenever I just prayed and knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God just answered my prayer.
Yeah.
And as I was traveling down the road, I put a CD in my changer, and a song came on that moved me. And I mean, I started weeping, crying. I cried. I don't know how long I've traveled. I don't know how long I cried. But when I came out of that, sister, I want you to know something. God said, I just healed you. I'm healing your wife.
Amen.
I called her up, and I said, baby, I said, God just told me He's healing you. And the doctors began to see all the levels start going back into normal. They started all changing back to God. And, you know, for a year and a half, she couldn't even go to church. But about 3 times out of that year and a half, she was able to go. But now she's teaching, preaching. She don't like to call herself preaching, but she preaches some better than some men that I've heard preach. But God uses her mightily.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so
you,
grateful.
Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
The miracles of God gives the greatest believer. And this song says, I've seen what God can do. Praise God. When I was tucking her in bed, it caught me by surprise. A little girl asked me, what does God look like? Well, I smiled and laughed a little, leaned over for a kiss. I said, maybe I don't know, but I can tell you this. I've been to the ocean, I stood on a mountain, I seen the sunset burn away the sky. I've seen what He can do.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I thought found wonders around us every day. Smoke it if you let it, it'll take your breath away.
Yeah.
And I've also found His glory shining from within. The heart of a sinner just got born again.
Hallelujah.
I've been to the river.
Oh,
my soul's going under.
Hallelujah.
Forgiveness was them clean.
Yes.
Mercy made them new.
Oh, hallelujah.
And God is the old man.
Hallelujah.
And I can tell you firsthand.
Yes.
I've never seen the face of God. Sin every day, you're just an everyday sinner. But you got to get to a place of saying, you know, I want to be right with the Lord. I want whenever that trumpet sounds that there's no question in my mind, because this is not a maybe so or a hope so salvation. This is a no so salvation. Amen. And church, hear me. I have seen people through the years, that good people that's been hurt in churches and never came back to God. It's because that, you know what? They never got any roots down inside of them. When you get the roots inside of you, hey man, they ain't no hand going to run you off. Ain't nobody can run you out of God's presence, because you know what? You're not going to church for them. You're going to church for Him. Amen. And you're wanting to feel His presence every time you walk in here. Church, it's good to see those crocodile tears running down people's face. Men, we can cry. You know that? Nothing wrong with crying. It takes a man to cry. Because then you realize, you know what? There's one that's above me. There's one that's greater than I am. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose, is what John said. But He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. See, this is just not Holy Ghost. There's fire in this thing. It's a consuming fire. You know what consuming fire means? It burns up all the dross. It's inside of our life that don't belong in there. It takes out the stuff that we shouldn't have living on the inside of us. And I'm going to tell you, church, there's a lot of times in our life that we go to worse in our life sometimes. It gets worse sometimes. I preached the other night to my church about this, because I told him, I said, I preached enough out of the Bible. I'm going to just preach to you out of the dictionary. So I told him, I'm going to preach you a message called From Worst to Worser. Are you with me? From worst to worser. It went from worst to worst. But there's something in between worst and worser. And you know what that word is, brother? It's worship.
Hallelujah.
And you've got to learn to worship before it gets worse. It can be worse, but it's got to get to the place, church, when we begin to realize if we'll worship through this problem. I'm going to praise God through that. Through the storm. Amen. Know the storm, when it passes over, praise God. It's going to pass. This too will pass. Amen. Let me tell you, church. David, he knew how to worship. He got worse. He's got everybody looking at him saying, hey, David, we're going to kill you, buddy. We've cried all the crying. We're going to cry. We're fed up with crying. We're just going to take you out. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He said, you ain't taking me out. It's going to take all of you to get me out. He said, because I'm going to go down fighting, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to go and take everything back that the devil stole from us. And I feel like there's some people, amen, in Fairfield, Illinois, that said, it's time for me to get back to worshiping God the way I used to worship God. If you feel like running the aisles, go ahead and run. If you feel like lifting your hands, go, come on. Don't worry about what people think about you. They ain't looking at you anyway. And they're worried about somebody and realize they got a new pair of shoes on, brother. We can't even see them from here, praise God.
All right, now.
There's some people, you know, they think, oh, people look at me, they're gonna make fun of me. Let me tell you what old Paul said. He said, I'm a fool for Christ.
Right.
For Christ's sake, I wish somebody had become a fool. Get to the place, you don't care what people think. Just praise God from the rising of the sun to the setting of it. Amen. You want to get God to start blessing you? Amen. The man of God said, I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come back. I'm blessed when I rise up. When I sit, I'm blessed. You know why? Because when it gets bad, it gets worse. I get to worshiping God and thinking about that. If He did it yesterday, He'll do it today. Yes, He will. If He did it for the three Hebrew boys, brother, He'll do it for us. Amen. It is your Father's good pleasure, sister, to give unto you the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
You know what the kingdom is? It's what everybody's trying to buy. You can't buy righteousness, peace, and joy. You can buy a lot of things in this world, but let me tell you, you can't buy salvation. I'm closing with this today. There was a man one time that had a son. And anybody got a son or a daughter that's lost? Amen. This son had left the house. He's mad at his dad. He's having a fit. He said, I'm leaving. One day a knock came on the door. And when the knock came on the door, he went and asked the door. He said, yes, sir, can I help you? He said, yes. He said, I heard you had a boy. He said, I heard he's lost. And I come to bring him home. He said, oh, you come to bring him home? He said, think you can? He said, yeah, I think I can. He said, what's your name, sir? He said, my name's Hope. So, well, I appreciate that. Hope went out and found the boy. When he found the boy, he said, your daddy wants you to come home, son. He said, he loves you. He sat up on the bar stool and he's drinking his vodka and having a good old time. Got a couple of ladies with him. And he said, "You tell my dad I'm not coming home." He said, "You tell my daddy that I'm hopeless and I ain't coming home." Wasn't long until he went back to the dad. He said, "Your boy's hopeless. I can't help it." He said, I tried everything I could to get him to come home. He said, "Well, I appreciate that, sir." He left, and a couple of 3 years went by. Another knock came on the door. And said, "I came by here, sir. I heard that you had a boy that's lost." He said, "Yeah, I do." And hope has been here and couldn't bring him home. He said, "Well, I'm Grace. I'm going to go find him." So Grace went out and found the boy. He said, when he found him, he said he was down there in the bed with a harlot. And he reached inside that bed. He said, "Son, you need to wake up. Your daddy wants you to come home. I'm Grace. I want you to come home." He said, "I told Hope to leave me alone. I'm not coming home." He said, "You tell my dad I'm graceless. I'm hopeless. It ain't no good for me." Went long till he went back and told him, he said, "I can't help him." Years went by, and the old man's getting older now. And a knock came on the door, and he kind of goes to the door and looks out. He said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard you got a son that's lost." He said, "I come to bring him home." He said, "No, you ain't gonna bring him home. He's not coming home. He's hopeless. He's faithless." And he said, "Look, my name is Love. And I'm gonna go find your boy and I'm gonna bring him home." So when he found him, he's pretty messed up now. He's sitting there in the house in the pew, and he's having all kinds of things that he's doing. Love walked over and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Hey, son, your daddy wants to come home, boy. He's grieving over you. He loves you. You don't know the tears your daddy's cried over your life." He said, "You tell my daddy I'm messed up. My life's a wreck right now. I'm not going home. I don't want him to see me in the state that I'm in." So Love went back and said, "I can't help you, boy." Now the old man is thinking to himself, this is all in vain. I'm never going to see my boy saved. And he gets older and he's walking now, trying to reach from one chair to the other, trying to get his way through. And a knock comes on the door. And he's got his little cane and he reaches over and gets his cane. And hearing him coming across the floor and looks outside and this man's standing there. And he said, "Hey, sir." He said, "I come to bring your boy home." He said, "Sir, would you just leave me alone?" He said, "My boy ain't coming home." He said, he's hopeless, he's faithless, he's loveless. I don't know. He said, "Oh, I'm going to bring him home." He said, "You're going to bring him home?" He said, "How are you going to bring him home?" He said, "I always bring him home." He said, "He's coming home." So the man walks off the porch and goes to that old raggedy fence now. The old man said, "Hey, sir, I didn't catch your name. What'd you say your name was?" He said, "My name is Time, and I always bring him home." He said, "Sometimes I bring him home in a casket. Sometimes I bring him home broken, but I always bring him home." And time, church, is all we've got left right now on our side. And if we lose the time of praying and fasting and getting a hold of God and saying, "God, you know what I need today? I don't need to run around the church. I need to get down and I need to get serious about my family. Because if I should win the whole world and lose my own soul, whether I think of that so much with my children, God, I've got to get my children saved. I've got to get my family saved. I've got to get somebody, amen, to Jesus some way or another." So I want you to stand to your feet as I sing this last song. And I'd like for you to come to this altar. Take somebody by the hand. Somebody that you know that's grieving or going through something. And I want you to pray with them today and ask the Lord to touch them. Would you do that right now? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you just bow your head and could we pray together as I sing this last song? Praise God. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands across the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. There have been times when I felt my prayers didn't even reach the ceiling of the room. So we're out now to pray. And a voice inside kept asking me, can I thank God for listening to anything that I had to say? But I just kept on praying and holding on by faith, knowing God, He's always in control. And I waited like a rosebud in the garden. Would you step out right now? For only God can unfold a rose. Come on, church. When God unfolds a rose. Such a beautiful sight. God knows when to hold on. The perfect time to let go. So let God have His way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let God touch you. Come on, let God touch you right now.
Thank you.
creation mankind. And I've heard it said, love's all you need. And it's funny, spread the word. Heard people say love at first sight. Now it's so real.
Keith Shelter, right across the cemetery at the top of the hill. And we'll be planning this sunrise service at 6 a.m. And then we're going to serve breakfast at Feed My Sheep as soon as the service is over. And then we'll just be having one service on Easter at 11 o'clock again. So we had a little meeting last Sunday, and I was like, you want to have two services? One service. I said, you want to have two services? One service. And so there seemed to be some excitement around that. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sleeping in an extra hour. We'll fix daylight savings time, won't we? We'll reclaim them hours, Helen. And what a wonderful, we'll have another wonderful service. And we'll have some special singing again next week from some of our local ladies here at the church in communion. It'll be a wonderful celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We love each and every one of you. And brothers, find a brother and give him a good hearty handshake. And sisters, find a sister and give him a good old fashioned loving hug. And we dismiss you in the fear of the Lord. God bless you. Brother. I just dismissed brother. He did.
Yeah.